We love to see people receive Christ. That's just the ultimate. It really is. We've had another receive Christ, and we're just so touched by the Lord's grace, His love. It's just healthy to celebrate new life. New life is a blast, isn't it? Praise the living Lord. Well, let me do a little commercial at the start of this because, we're going to enjoy this communion series again today and next week. Matter of fact, next week, I'm just going to give you a heads up. Next week, when you watch this or you listen to this, be ready to have communion with us because we're going to have communion live on the broadcast here. And so we want you to join us. So, you know, I'm not asking you to go find super special elements. You know, you can grab a taco or a tortilla, real common where we are. Grab a tortilla and get you a glass of juice or whatever. And the most important thing is not the element in itself, it's Him. And using the element as a picture and presenting to Him and communing with Him. You're going to catch this in the series. So it's a communion of His presence. And so we're going to do that with you next week. So we'll do that here with the body and with you. And so let's be ready for that. As a matter of fact, I'm just announcing to the body, we're sending home next week little communion packages with you for you to practice during the week. Practice His presence. This is one of the ways the Lord's given for us to touch Him and for Him to touch us. And what a joy that is. And so the commercial is, we recorded a session this morning, and it wasn't a sermon. It was just a kind of a Papa T unplugged, or Papa T's heartbeat on politics. It was about politics. And I don't love politics, but I love Jesus, and I love our nation. And this has to do with some things our nation is facing. We did something 4 years ago before the last election, and it's still on podcast, I think, but it's the we had all of our pastors kind of a table. Do you remember that, Pastor James? And we touched on a lot of things facing our country at that time, and we shared, and it was pretty well received. And but I'll just share with you, I just shared my heartbeat. I touched on a number of different things, but I approached it with the emphasis, what about the believer in politics? What about the kingdom of God in politics? What about the Bible? Because we're encouraging people to vote the Bible. And what does that mean to vote the Bible? And so that's our emphasis, and I'll go ahead and give you a little heads up. You'll probably hear something you don't like, but don't cut it off. Keep listening. You'll probably end up hearing something you like. But it's not really about what you like or don't like. It's really what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. And we just encourage people to seek the Lord during this time. And the Lord's promised to give us wisdom. If you have any question about how to vote, I dare you to pray and ask God. Because He loves to give us wisdom. Amen. And I'm just saying that, you know, we really encourage people to vote because it's our responsibility and our right as believer. But we're responsible. And I want you to do that. And I just bless you. How you vote is not a test of fellowship here. But I want to tell you it's important for us to promote the Bible. We're believers. And we have a higher commitment to the kingdom of God than we do a political party. Amen. We're Bible church. And so that's our emphasis, and we want to encourage you to do that. Vote the Bible and take a look at that broadcast. It's, I don't remember what we called it, The Believer in Politics or something like that. Yeah, and it'll be loaded tonight or later today. And so I did not want it to take precedence over the sermon. This is the main thing. Okay, and that's why we're here, and we wanted this to be put out first today. So, this is the Communion of His Presence, Part 3. And some of the things I shared last week, I'm going to touch on and go a little farther this week. There'll be a couple new thoughts this week to share with you, but I just want to encourage you to be in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit gives us insight, and we encourage people, when you look at the Bible, see Jesus. Look for Jesus in the Bible. And when you see the Jesus in the Bible, the Holy Spirit will show you Jesus and how He is in your life. And it's called Revelation. It's called Rhema Word. I've never gotten over it. I'm still super excited to get revelation and insight from the Lord. I want you to. He wants to speak to you personally. So, here we go. I shared last week and touched how that this earth is a fallen world. And it's been under a divine judgment, is the way I presented it, I think. I might have used different terminology, but it's been under a divine judgment ever since Adam sinned. Before Adam sinned, there was no sickness on the earth. There was no death. And so death and sickness is a part of the divine sentence. We live in this fallen world, and I'm just announcing to you, and it's not great insight to you. You know this. You live here. But our mortal bodies are affected by this divine sentence, right? You recognize that? And so it's not surprising that the world gets sicker and sicker, sicker and weaker, all right? And Jesus said, and I want you to just be prepared, Jesus said that in the last days that pandemics would come. And so if you think that this is the last one, I'm sorry to laugh, it's not funny. This is, as far as pandemics are concerned historically, this has been a weak one. There's probably more coming. Jesus said there would be wars, rumors of wars, and he mentioned about these kind of things, earthquakes and things would happen. And this is a part of the signs of the last days. But we're not to fret. We're not to worry. We're not to be anxious. We're not to be in fear, because we're the bride of Christ. And we have the promises of God. We have Jesus, they don't. Because we have Jesus and the promises of His words and the finished works of Jesus, we're not to get sicker and weaker like the world. We're to get stronger and healthier. I love that. But our part is to believe God. Let's trust in, rely on, and lean on the Lord. Let's believe the Lord. Now, in these last days, Jesus describes that there will be an increase in darkness. There will be an increase in dark days. But here's a great hope from the Word of God in the heartbeat of the Lord. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And I'm telling you that in these last days, even though the news may get worse, and it will get worse, and it may get darker, and it could get crazier out there, I'm telling you, there in the last days, there's going to be an exponential move of the kingdom of God. Wow, that's exciting. See it like this. The darker the world gets, the brighter we get. And you're going to reflect His glory in the last days. And I believe that in these last days, that even though there's going to be like a polarization taking place, a darker and people going darker and the world going, but the church is going to get brighter and the light's going to shine brighter and there will be more manifestation of the kingdom of God. It's going to look like the early days of the church. As a matter of fact, I think the latter days of the church are going to be greater than the former days. And so we've got a lot to look forward to. There's going to be a great harvest. And I'm telling pastors, because, you know, sometimes as a pastor, you look at who you're not reaching compared to who you are reaching. I had a pastor ask me not too long ago, brother, I mean, he's from out of state, and we've just kind of over the media here and by phone, but he told me, he said, brother, I bet you pack them in. I said, brother, they stay away from my meetings by the thousands, okay? But I'm trying to encourage people and encourage you that in the last days there's going to be a great harvest. So get ready. Get ready. Get the ground ready. Get your people ready for harvest. Everybody needs to be a harvester. And so let's get ready to minister, because they're going to be coming in. And we're going to see signs and wonders in the last days that are going to absolutely be amazing. But you know what? We're not going to get sidetracked back. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. And we're going to keep ministering life. And we're going to see Jesus do so much. And it's going to be so exciting. You're going to be so thankful. I'm telling you, people of generations have looked forward to our day. And here we are. We get to live it. And we get to be a part of it. Maranatha, may the Lord come quickly. We're so excited and looking forward to His coming. But Jesus has revealed the heartbeat of Father. I'm telling you, when Jesus was on the earth, one of the primary purposes that He was on the earth was to reveal to a religious world that didn't understand God what Father was really like. And so a lot of His teaching points to this is what the Father's like. And one of the things is this, is that, you know, He was the perfect manifestation of Father's heart. When you've seen, and He said this, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. These are not My works, these are Father's works. When you hear Me, you hear the Father. These are not My words, these are Father's words. Do you see what I'm saying? And when in His action, these are Father's works. It seemed like everywhere He went, He healed. There are 17 times in Scripture that it's referred to that He healed all of them. Now, boy, that's exciting stuff. But I'm just telling you, He reflected the Father's heart to people. And so one of the heartbeats of Father, we saw it through Jesus, is that Father loves to heal. He heals, He wants us well. And so don't accuse Father of child abuse. You've probably heard me say that in this series. Don't accuse Father of child abuse. He's not judging you with sickness. And matter of fact, Jesus told us who that kind of stuff comes from. So let's be clear. Let's keep it simple, saints. John 10:10, the thief comes. Who's the thief? The enemy's the thief. Satan's the thief. Darkness is the thief. Comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, I want to tell you, that sounds like sickness, doesn't it? That also sounds like financial poverty, doesn't it? That also sounds like, well, so many other things. I got to move on. Probably you have something that fits in that category. But Jesus said, I've come. I'm here. I've come that you may have and enjoy life. This is John 10:10. And have it in abundance. And so a lot of people point and say, well, you know, He gave us everlasting life. That's heaven. That's all we get between now and then. No, it's not. Jesus made it real clear. He came to give us everlasting life. And everlasting life starts when you receive Christ. But at the same time, He said He came to give us abundant life. So the everlasting life is not just a ticket to get there. It's a life here. Abundant living till to the full, till it overflows. And so the Scripture reveals that the enemy brings destruction. Jesus brings life to the overflow. Can I get a good amen, saints? Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice to take our sins away and to take sickness away. Now, in the early 90s, I believe I've got this right. In the early 90s, and the only one I know that could possibly have this book would be Pastor James. But there was a book in the early 90s that I got a hold of that it was just simply titled, I think, What the Early Church Believed, or What Early Saints Believed. And it wasn't a very big book, it was a small book, but I was so touched by it, I bought a box of them, and I was giving them away to pastors and to saints, and I cannot find that book. Cannot find it. I was wanting to show you some things out of it. But one of the things that this book covered was communion. That the early church clearly understood and had a powerful recognition of what communion really is. And they believed it was very powerful. They believed that Jesus' presence was manifested in their midst. He was in the center of them when they practiced communion. And the Lord would love on them, and they would love on the Lord. It was a love exchange. It was a Thanksgiving supper. And, you know, it's just beautiful description of it. And that's why that they practiced it often, because they recognized that it was more than a ritual. It was life exchange. One of the ways that Jesus has to touch us and for us to touch Him. And so that's why they practice it often. So we're describing in this series, we're using a part of that emphasis and saying that communion is the power of His presence manifested. Now, when you put on the glasses, when you take communion, that this is not just a ritual or a routine, or this is not just something we do as a token, but when you look, put on the glasses that I expect, expectation's big. When you put your hope in, and you have an expectation that Jesus is going to love on me through this, and I'm going to love on Him with thanksgiving through this, and there's going to be a love-life exchange during communion because He is present. His presence is present. Now, we know that's true, but it's the manifestation of it. It's got to go from your brain to your heart. That's not very far, but it's a giant distance with some people. But it makes a tremendous difference. Look at Acts 2:46. And day after day, somebody say every day. They regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose. And the purpose was not themselves. The focus was not on self. The focus was on Jesus. And they met to honor Jesus. And there's some things they did to honor Jesus day after day in the temple. And not just in the temple, but in their homes. And so I'm telling you that day after day, whenever they met together corporately, they practiced the Lord's Supper. Because they knew that this is one of the ways that the Lord's given them to touch Him and for Him to touch them. And they practiced it whenever they met corporately, but they also practiced it privately in their homes. Look at what it says. And in their homes, they broke bread. Now, the Amplified brings out emphasis on the language, because you can read this in some versions and say, well, they met for church, and they had church service, and then they went home and they pigged out together. Because even the term in modern day, the word fellowship means to eat in some places. Okay, but they were talking about the Lord's Supper. That's how important it was. It had a place of priority. Okay? And so they partook of their food, the Bible says here, with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts. So it goes like this. This is what I'm telling you. They took their approach with the Lord in communion, and they took that same approach, and they approached each other in the same way. Are you with me? And so when they practiced communion, they would humble themselves before the Lord, and they would celebrate with gladness and in simplicity. You see, it wasn't they didn't get off into spiritual spooky land. It was in simple way of saying yes and believing God and loving on Jesus. And with generous hearts, that means thanksgiving. And so they went from doing this with communion with the Lord to fellowshipping in meal with one another the same way. I want to tell you, that's powerful. It's powerful when we begin to see others the way Jesus sees us. It's powerful when we begin to approach others the way the Lord approaches us. It's powerful when we approach people in the same way we approach the Lord. Because the Bible says, New Testament, to esteem others better than ourselves. To humble ourselves before God and man. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord, He gives us great grace. And we're to esteem others better than ourselves. Does that sound right? See, there was no selfish view. There was a Savior view. And they were seeing each other as saints, okay, not as sinners. They were esteeming each other and loving each other. So it's a beautiful picture here. But they were house to house daily, having communion and fellowship with each other. And they were on Sundays. The primary reason was to break bread and enjoy Jesus with each other. And, of course, there was the Word presented and there was prayer. I'll show you this in Acts 20, verse 7. And on the first day of the week, when we were assembled together to break bread, do you see that? The Lord's Supper, the Amplified brings that out, it's the Lord's Supper. And so this was their pattern, is that they would meet corporately together, privately house to house, but corporately together they would meet on the first day of the week. And the primary, look who gets the top billing. Jesus gets the top billing. I want you to see that. He gets the top billing here. Okay, they say we meet together every Lord's Day. And the primary first purpose that we meet is to break bread, and we enjoy communion with the Lord and the Lord with us. We practice His presence. Look who gets second billing. And Paul discoursed with them. And so it goes like this. I'm just telling you, this is the way it reads. Is that, hey, we're meeting together to enjoy Jesus And so let's get ready to practice the Lord's Supper. We're going to partake, interact with Jesus in Lord's Supper. And by the way, Paul's here, and we're going to have him speak. Do you see that? Now, boy, with us, it'd be the other way around, wouldn't it? I tell you, we had a missionary a month or two back, and so we had extra things being shared and everything, extra things done, and we didn't take communion that particular Sunday, which is rare for us. We didn't take communion. On the way out, I had saints waving communion elements at me. Look what you forgot. They were putting it on me. I loved it. Nothing wrong with that. Whole lot right with that. And look at the last part of this verse. This is not really in the message, but I can't help but point it out whenever I see it to you, because I love for you to give thanks to the Lord. He intended to leave the next morning, and he kept on with his message till midnight. Somebody needs to give God praise. That's right. Be thankful, my friends. So, the main reason was to practice and partake, interact with Jesus with the breaking of bread. Do you see that? Communion with the Lord. So this is a powerful, communion is a powerful receiving by us and a powerful release by Jesus in the Lord's Supper. The early church was so convinced that they practiced it often. They practiced receiving the benefits of love life exchange with Jesus. And so my question to you, and I think I presented it last week, but I want to emphasize this a little bit. How often do you need to touch Jesus? Because I want to tell you, he wants to touch you a lot. He loves you. He adores you. He cherishes you. You're the apple of his eye. You're a son and daughter of the kingdom, and you're a joint heir, and he wants to love on you. He's your shepherd. He wants to love on you. Hey, it's not uncommon for people to take medicine three times a day. Well, you know, it hit me one time. If we can take medicine three times a day, why can't we touch Jesus a number of times a day? Why can't we practice communion during the day? There are days where the battle is at such a place that I take communion a number of times that day. It depends what I'm believing for and what I'm facing. But you know what? I just want to rush to say, well, Brother Tim, is it really necessary? No, but it's an opportunity. And I want to tell you, why not practice touching the Lord in this way every day? Because he loves to touch us. And it's a beautiful, precious life exchange. And so remember that when we do come before the Lord, we do examine ourselves in approaching the Lord's Supper, but it's not a sin focus. All right, it's not a sin focus because the blood of Jesus has washed away our sins. Now, let me say it this way. We're supposed to walk in humility before God and man. And so I want to tell you, as we're walking on the journey and we're enjoying Jesus in our journey and there's a cloud of sin that comes over us, then I want to tell you, don't wait till communion to get right with God. Come on, friends. He's paid for our sins to not have power over us or punishment over us. And he has called us to walk in his liberty and freedom. Now, to confess means to agree with God. And so I want to tell you, whenever the Holy Spirit points out to you, and he's the referee, he knows how to do this with you. Whenever he points out to you and blows the whistle and say, whoa, 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 that was wrong attitude. That was wrong action. Hey, come on. Let's get back focused on Jesus. Whenever, that cloud of sin comes over or the referee blows a whistle, you immediately say, I confess, I agree with what you say. That was wrong, you right, I repent. It means you change direction, you change your mind, and you keep confessing. Because to keep confessing means that you say what God says about you. That was wrong, you're right. Thank you for the blood. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the real me. And so you get back in agreement. You confess what Jesus says about you, that you are forgiven. You don't walk in guilt and condemnation till your next time to church. I'll never forget there was a church, a number of them, but one particular church I got in mind. I would preach their summer revival every summer, and it was kind of a big deal because they made it like a reunion thing, and people would come, and it was a great meeting, but In this, when I got there one particular year, this guy met me out in the parking lot, and he said, "I'm so glad you're here. I've been needing to get right with God for months." I said, "Why are you waiting on me? The Lord's present with you. It's the Lord. It's not me. I don't bring revival in my briefcase." We had briefcases then. Hey, don't wait till your next communion. Don't wait till your next church. Don't wait till you go to bed at night. Where did that come from? I mean, it's to be an immediate response to the Lord. Oh, right. Because redeem the time. Don't waste the rest of the day. Oh, my. I wish I could make that so clear, because this is the Lord's heart. Because I want to say it to you like this, and I think you may understand this. We don't have a sin consciousness. We have a Jesus consciousness. Do you see the difference? Let me say it like this. We don't walk with sin. We walk with Jesus. And so whenever that other comes up, whenever darkness shows up, we deal with it immediately and get right back on and open fellowship with the Lord. Do you see that? That's where we receive. But we need to examine to make sure that we partake in a manner worthy of the Lord. It's the manner that we approach. And part of that is with that expectation, that hope, and that expectation to meet with the Lord. It's so exciting when I show up at the grandkids' house, and they know I'm coming, and they're expecting me, and they're looking for me. And when I get out of the truck or the car, there they are running to greet me. There's an expectation. I want to tell you, that's beautiful. I want to tell you, the Lord loves that. The Lord loves it. When you open up the Word of God, and you're not looking for facts, you're looking for Him. The Lord loves it when you pray, and you're not just giving you a shopping list, but you want love life exchange with Him. The Lord loves it when you praise, and you're not just singing a song because it's time to sing a song, or Pastor James is singing a song, but you're loving on Him with this song. The Lord loves it when you take the elements of communion, and you're lovingly reflecting on Him as you partake communion, because He loves the expectation that you have of meeting with Him. And let me tell you, because He wants to meet with you more than you want to meet with Him. And He loves the love life exchange. And so let's remember and make fresh. It's an important word. Make fresh each time we have communion. Let's make fresh the revelation of His finished work like it just happened for you. Let's have a present consciousness that as we receive the bread, we're recognizing the body of Jesus that was broken so ours could be made whole. 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when He had given thanks, He broke it. Well, we had good testimony on that last week. He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this." Look at this now. It's so beautiful in the wording. "Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance." Now, I want to tell you, this is why I'm explaining to you. Do you see the word affectionately? He loves when you come to take communion and you're coming to let Him love on you. Okay? Look, there's not a more joyful man in the state of Texas than when my beautiful blonde walks in the room and gives me that wink. Does she want a hug from me? I'm going to tell you. Oh, listen. You minister to the Lord. Are you listening? You minister to the Lord when you come to the table. And your approach is in a worthy manner. And you're calling Him affectionately to remember the love exchange of the covenant. He loves it. Okay? And it's good for Him. And it ministers to you. The exchange is thanks for what He's already done. It's not to get it. It's to thank Him for what He's done and to practice appropriating it, because it's already done. He's loving us back with the manifestation of His finished works. And so present presence is a good way to say it. His present presence is a love exchange. That's what communion is. It's a love feast exchange. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. And look at this. The chastisement, in other words, the extreme price paid that was needed to be paid to obtain our peace on the inside. Shalom peace. Somebody say shalom peace. Well, I'm going to share something with you in that in the near future. The shalom peace and the well-being for us, the well-being on the inside, was paid for by Jesus. He paid an extreme price. I don't know if you've ever seen that. He's paid an extreme price for the well-being of you on the inside. How is it with your soul? It can be well with your soul, with the inside of you. Your mind, will, and emotions. Because Jesus paid the price for that too. For you to have peace and well-being on the inside. He paid, it was put, the payment for our peace, our well-being on the inside. Let's say inner healing. Let's say inner comfort. Let's say healing of memories. Let's say restoration from being wounded. See, he come to bind up the brokenhearted. Somebody say amen to this. And I want to tell you, he loves it. He paid an extreme price for the well-being, the inner well-being of our healing. And also with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. So get this, the extreme price was paid for our healing because he was wounded by the stripes for our healing. Boy, that's powerful. That's Bible right there. That's what Jesus, you say, well, Brother Tim, that hasn't been my experience. Well, that's Bible, and that's true, and our experience is wrong. That's the way you have to see that. As we receive the cup, let's have a present consciousness that we are receiving and recognizing his blood was shed for the forgiveness and remission of all our sins, that they're forgiven. I mean, you can come to the Lord today for something you spilt your Cheerios about yesterday, and you can come to him today and say, Lord, you remember that? He'll say, what? Because he's taken it and thrown it into the depths of the sea, and he remembers no more. He's taken it and thrown it as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. And so I want to tell you, let's agree with God that it's forgiven and forgotten. And so there's no room for us to carry it. I'm telling you, Pastor Justin's going to share something about this in a couple weeks. But it's very, very important that we agree with God enough to forgive ourselves. That's all I'm going to say, Pastor, because I know you got some good stuff to say on that. Matthew 26:28, for this my blood of the new covenant, which ratifies the agreement, certifies the agreement, and is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 2:13, and you who were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, talking about our fleshly selves, our carnal selves, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature, just being the human that you are, God brought all that to life together with Christ. He was the only one he could, the only one that did, it was Jesus. God did that through Jesus, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions. That's why that God is just, because of the high price Jesus paid, God is just to say to sinful man, you believe in my son, I forgive you. Wow. I want to assure you about something. I preach with confidence in God, but I don't have it all figured out. But what I am saying to you is let's all be learners. And the sweet truth about the kingdom of God is that we don't have to have it all figured out in order to express our faith. Our faith is our yes to God. You, in childlike faith, can say simply yes to God. Lord, I don't have it all figured out, and my human reasoning doesn't have all the puzzle put together, but I believe in what you said over what I feel, and what the doctors say, and what my bank account says, and what somebody said mean to me. I put you first, and I trust in you. And I give my allegiance to you. On the inside, my faith is yes to you. We don't have to wait until we're all fixed up to practice receiving his life. He wants to minister his life to us. And we don't have to have it all figured out to practice ministering his life to others. just say what he said and did what he do what he did. I'm telling you, I'm challenging our people to practice communion. Let the Lord touch you. You touch the Lord. And then you go touch someone else. With the same way he touched you, you go comfort someone else. You go minister life to someone else. And you let Jesus be Jesus. You say, well, Brother Tim, I don't know about the laying on hands. You just do what he said. Our part's just to do what he said. Lay on hands and pray for him. And Jesus is the healer. It's the truth that sets us free, not people. Man, I need to park there, but I'm going to go on. I'm going to confess this to you. I hate sickness. We developed a holy hatred for cancer. And we just, Mountain Movers Club, we get excited about praying against cancer. Because cancer is not big to Jesus. I'm going to say what we say in the Mountain Movers Club. It goes out like this, that cancer is just a snack for Jesus. He paid a high price for cancer to be healed, to be rebuked, to be renounced. And we have we just have great joy because, you see, it's way above us, but it's way below Jesus. It's under his feet. He paid the price for cancer. You say, well, what about the cold? He paid the same price for a cold as he did for cancer. And you know what? Some healing's immediate, some's progressive. It don't matter. You're worth it. It don't matter. Jesus is worth it. Our part is to practice that faith of saying yes to God. And what a joy it is to do that, to pray for other people. I hate the storm that comes from cancer because cancer doesn't just affect an individual. It affects families. Am I right? And the Lord knows what you're experiencing. Other people may not. And unless someone has experienced the depth of that personal battle or someone in your family, they don't know. People don't know what you go through. But I want to tell you, Jesus does. And we're representing the King. And he knows what you're experiencing. And listen to me. He has compassion for you. He does. He has compassion for you. And so let's yield to the Lord and put our trust in him. And let's be determined. Do you hear the word determined? Let's be determined that we are now on a healing journey. No matter what the doctor says, no whatever the prognosis or diagnosis of the doctor, he doesn't have the last word, Jesus does. Let's let Dr. Jesus be our hope and our focus, and let's practice believing like a little child, simply practice believing and receiving, and let's make it a lifestyle, not a one-time prayer. Oh, brother, that'd make a big difference. That'd make a tremendous difference. He is our present help right now. I want you to picture for just a second someone here on Sunday, and they want to practice receiving the life and the ministry of Jesus on Sunday, and the Lord touches them and ministers to them. But I want to tell you, there's a big difference between someone who does it a one time on a Sunday and someone who approaches the Lord in a worthy manner every day. Practice appropriating. You know what that means? It means say yes to him continually. We're to pray without ceasing. I want to tell you, say yes to Jesus without ceasing. Why don't you try that and see what happens? Wow! I'm telling you, there is a momentum in athletic competition that we love when it happens. I want to tell you, it doesn't even touch the momentum that happens in the spiritual realm when somebody begins to touch Jesus on a regular basis and say yes to him to continually. I want to receive your life. What he's done, what he's provided. Psalm 46:1 says this, God is our refuge and strength. He's mighty, impenetrable to temptation. I'm saying it to you like this. Because of the blood of Jesus, temptation's weak. Don't you dare say, I can't overcome this temptation. This temptation is too strong for me. It's too big for me. No, it's small compared to Jesus. And Jesus paid the price with his blood. That's part of the freedom that comes, is that he gives us the power over the punishment. Hey, freedom from the punishment and the power. So the power of sin has been broken too. And if that voice is saying to you, you can't handle this, that's a lie. Okay? Don't be deceived into thinking that you're normal or that it's normal and that you're going to live with it the rest of your life. You don't have to. Not because of you and your will, but because of what Jesus has said and what Jesus has done. The more we walk with him, the freer we get. He's a very present and well-proved help in trouble, and all the saints said. And so let's esteem him. You know what that means? Make him big. Let's esteem him. Let's focus on him. Let's disesteem sickness. Let's disesteem our financial mess. Let's disesteem the relationship soap opera. And let's be saturated with the promises and renounce the mountains and say yes to Jesus continually. Amen. And I want to tell you, we can do that through communion. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong, courageous, and firm. Fear not, nor be in terror before them. For it is the Lord your God. I want to tell you, we need to circle that. We need to camp out that. We need to practice Psalm 91:1 right there. And then we need to practice Psalm 91:2 by saying what he is to us. But I want to tell you, it's a revelation of his presence. It is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Now here's a little bit of a problem, because I've already described it as the difference between the mind and the heart. But the mind can see this as fact. But until you have a heart revelation of him, a revelation of his presence, where he shows you that he is with you, his presence is with you, with your name on it, then it's just a fact. And it stays up here. And it becomes battleground. And you don't have the will to make it work. But I want to tell you, when you have revelation of his presence, his will comes forth. It's by his obedience, not ours. It's so exciting, because he is your victory. And the heart revelation makes it personal and makes it evident and causes it to be manifest. Otherwise, it's a fact that has a theory. I'm telling you, it's a big difference in that. Let's look at the following. 1 Corinthians 11, 29 and 30. We're going to see the reason. I want to tell you right here, it's singular. That spoke to me. All right. Why many Christians are not receiving the strength and healing and long life that Jesus paid for, because he's provided it. Well, if he's provided it and we're not receiving it, how are we refusing it? Well, here's a reason. For anyone who eats and drinks without discriminating and recognizing with due appreciation that it is Christ's body, eats and drinks a sentence, verdict of judgment upon himself. And so that careless and unworthy participation is the reason. Do I need to read that again? I mean, you know, folk, this is children's church stuff. I mean, this is it. This is something we need to pay attention to. No matter what your tradition has said to you, this is Jesus, this is the Word. The careless and unworthy participation is the reason many of you are weak and sickly, and quite enough of you have fallen into the sleep of death. Now, let me tell you what I'm not saying. I'm not saying every sickness of every believer. All right? Because I want to tell you, we live in a fallen world. I'm going to explain it to you like this. I hope you catch it. But there are a number of gates into you. There's the eye gate, for example, Bible talks about. There's the ear gate. There's the meditation gate, the imagination room of your heart. And there's the human body. Okay, there's the devil out there. There's the world out there. And I want to tell you, there's a number of ways, number of gates for sickness to come upon a believer. But there are also, get this, a number of gates for us to receive from Jesus. For example, the Word of God. The Word of God, I'm telling you, the Word of God is an incorruptible seed. And we can take the Word of God, and the Lord can take the Word of God, and he can show us himself. The Holy Spirit does that. And I want to tell you, by meditating on him and the Word, we can see him as he is, and we can receive him as he is. That is just absolutely the transforming power of the Word of God. It would take a miracle in reverse for it not to happen if you approach him right in the Word. So we got the Word. We got praise. I'm telling you, you can receive touch from the Lord for praise. Praise. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. We put on the glasses of recognizing him and his goodness and loving kindness. And when you're seeing his goodness and loving kindness, you can receive from the Lord. There's a number of different ways. And one of the ways that he's provided is communion. I have a little challenge that I do with pastors, because it's common. And if you're a pastor listening in, I may have told you this. Don't think I'm picking on you. I'm not saying your name. But it goes like this because it's common, okay? What happens is pastors, because of the schedule, the very schedule to serve the Lord can actually keep you from the intimacy with the Lord. Because we get busy in the busyness of ministry and we're not sitting at His feet. I can't tell you how it disturbs me to meet with a pastor and they don't know how to see God in the Word. They don't know. They know how to get a message for someone else, but they don't know how to experience the Lord's presence, meditating, receiving from God personally, and experiencing Jesus in the Word. I want to tell you that happens. Now, it's easy to get there. Not right, but it's easy to get there. But what I try to share with them is like this, is that, you know what? If you will practice His presence in the Word, if you'll look at the Word and see Jesus, I want to tell you, you don't have to worry about having a message or having a sermon, because everywhere you look in the Bible, when you have Him and are seeing Him in Revelation, everywhere you look, you see Jesus in the Bible, you see message everywhere you look. It's a life flow. It's a flow of it. Oh, hallelujah. A sermon of the heart affects hearts. A sermon of the mind affects minds. There's a big difference. We honor and give precedence to the Word. It's a word view, not the world view. Amen? And so that's but in God's Word, this is something Paul emphasized on this. And this, you see this in the King James Version. It uses the terminology I wanted you to see, not discerning the Lord's body. And so the word or phrase, not discerning, it means to make a distinction. Do you see that? Do you need to write that down? She's got it for you already. Way to go, beautiful blonde. The word discerning means to make a distinction. And so I know there's groups that combine the bread and the cup as one under forgiveness. I'm not throwing stones at that, but I'm saying, Paul's saying, let's discern the body. Because I want to tell you something. If you don't believe it, you're not going to receive it. Is that clear? If you don't practice it, you're not going to receive it. But I want to tell you, you can. You can. And He wants you to. Let's make a distinction between the blood and the body. Jesus didn't just suffer and die for our forgiveness. He also died for our healing. And so I have sometimes pastors tell me, now, Brother Tim, that's not the main thing there. Well, okay. I give you that because we talk about salvation, your forgiveness being the hub of the wheel. But we also describe that there are spikes, not spikes, spokes. There it is. We have spokes coming out from the hub of forgiveness. And they're the manifestations of sozo, of salvation. And so in that, there's deliverance. In that, there's protection. In that, there's provision. In that, there's healing. Do you see that? And so it's absolutely just so beautiful. And I just want to present it to you. Why was there prolonged suffering of His emotions and in His soul in the garden? Why was it a prolonged suffering in the garden? I'm telling you, such suffering that His blood burst, the capillaries burst, and He sweated blood. And on that rare occasion when that happens, when the blood mingles with sweat, there's such an extreme pressure taking place. He was suffering then for your emotions. Do you see that? And man, I got something the other day that I'm seeing Him. I'm seeing Him sweat blood. And He's in the garden. He's in the Olive Garden. I'm seeing Him sweat blood. And there's something there about that blood touching the ground of that garden that breaks the curse of what happened in the garden of sin to our emotions. Oh! But He did that for us. Why did Pilate send Him to the whipping post where they took the nine of cattails, the cat of nine tails, and they beat Him with a stone and the bone and the metal that was tied to those, and the expert that was actually whipping Him, and he would strike and he would twist the handle and jerk and he would actually rip the flesh. And actually, I think it's Young's that brings out that it wasn't stripes, it was striped. And so when you see the word stripe, what He's describing is that His back was so beaten and massacred, it looked like one stripe. But He received the stripe for your healing. I want to tell you, Our suffering, our sickness, our disease, I don't care what the name the doctors call, it was on the back of Jesus. And so he didn't just suffer for our forgiveness, he suffered for our healing. But, I mean, if that's not so, why didn't he just go directly to the cross? And so, I'm telling you, you say, well, it's not the most important, but listen to me. It was important enough to Jesus for him to suffer for us. And so it ought to be important enough to us to receive what he paid for. There's priority there. Psalm 103. I'm wrapping this up quickly. Psalm 103. I'm going to just do verse 2 and 3. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul. And forget not, well, I'm telling you, this applies to communion. Forget not one of all his benefits. These are the benefits he paid for. This is how he set up the covenant meal for us to practice receiving what he paid for, his benefits. He wants us to walk in his benefits. Verse 3, who forgives every one of all of our iniquities, that's our Jesus. Who heals each one of all our diseases, that's our Jesus. The same Jesus paid for our sins, all of them, to be forgiven. He also paid for our diseases, our healing, and our health. We need to recognize the distinction between the two and just simply believe what he paid for. Now, there's a principle. I'm going to try to present this real quick. There's a principle that I call parallel truths. And in this parallel truth, for example, sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping is a parallel truth. In other words, it works for godly, it works for ungodly. I'm telling you, you can sow. You can go to work tomorrow and sow a bad attitude, and what are you going to reap? You can go to work tomorrow and sow a good attitude, and what are you going to reap? That's what I mean by a parallel truth. It works both ways. Same things with the power of the tongue. You can speak life or you can speak death with your tongue. And whatever you speak is going to be multiplied to you according to the Word of God. It's going to become fruit on your plate that you're going to eat. So you're sowing the seed of what you're going to eat later, whether yea or nay, good or bad, godly or ungodly. Parallel truth. Romans 1:21 brings this out. I don't think I do have the scripture. Way to go. Okay. Let me just show you real quick. They knew and recognized him as God. That's an intuitive knowledge. That everybody is born has an intuitive knowledge that there is a God and that he's real. When the atheist tells you, I've never known there to be a God, he's lying. Because this says everybody has an intuitive knowledge somewhere in their journey. But look what happens here. This is a regression of a life. They did not honor and glorify him as God. That's number one. That's first step. I'm telling you, when a person does not honor and glorify him as God, that's a step down. Watch what happens next. And they don't give him thanks. Do you wonder why I'm so big on Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving reflects where your heart's looking. And I want to tell you, if you are not thankful and you're not grateful, that's step two. But instead, they became futile and godless in their thinking. So in other words, their imagination room becomes full of themselves. That's what it means by vain thinking, or become futile and godless in their thinking. Vain imaginations is imagination that you're God, it's all about you and nobody but you. Okay? All kind of stuff shows up in your imagination room. And then the last step is that their senseless minds are darkened. Their heart goes dark. Now, you've seen that in the lives of people. This is what I mean by parallel truth. We can work this to the good. Are you ready? Boy, this is exciting. Here it is right here. Go back one. Okay, let me just show you this right quick. We can know and recognize him as God. We can magnify the Lord. Do you see that? We can honor and glorify him. Glorify means to magnify. You make God big and your stuff little. But you magnify him and you can practice thanksgiving. And when you practice thanksgiving, your heart's going to be filled with wisdom and with hope and with knowledge of him and of spiritual things. and out of the issue of your heart, out of the inner part, the springs of your heart are going to come forth the kingdom of God. Do you see that? And your minds are going to be enlightened. They're going to be brightened. Do you see the opposite? I hope you do. That's very powerful to me. I just love that. But you see the truth. And we recognize and practice the distinction between the body and the blood. And we receive what he paid for, because we approach him in a worthy manner. And we practice it by grace through faith. The blood is our freedom. His body, our healing and health, our strength. And that's a good bridge word in the Word of God whenever you see strength. You don't see health written too much, but whenever you see strength, it's a bridge word to health. And look at the promise of long life. So don't let lack of knowledge or unbelief keep you from receiving the love life flow from Jesus. That's something we can walk in. He's designed it for all of us because he's the God of restoration. That's his heart for you. He will restore what the enemy has stolen. No matter what your past looks like, with Christ, your past is so bright, you need sunglasses to look that direction. Some of you knew I was going to say that, didn't you? Sometimes his healing's immediate. Sometimes it's progressive. I don't understand that, but I want to tell you, he's worth it. And he paid the price because he says, you're worth it. And I'm not saying that as you practice communion and practice touching the Lord and receiving from the Lord and by faith receiving life on a regular basis, I'm not saying you won't ever be sick. But I want to tell you, when you practice recognizing his life in you, coming and receiving as a lifestyle, and not just when you're sick or hurting, with me? But I want to tell you, you know what you're going to see? Your testimony is going to be, I'm sick less often and I recover faster when I am. There's no condemnation to somebody that gets sick. Jesus described it like this. He said it's like one of your livestock falls in a ditch or your child falls in a ditch. That's not the place to mark off a spot. The primary purpose is to get them out of the ditch. And that's what we say too. There's no condemnation to this. Somebody gets sick, I want to tell you, as far as I know, now I may be wrong, if I am, I'll probably hear it today. But as far as I know, no one immediately connected to our church has received the COVID-19. Now, if you do, you know what? We're on your team. There's no condemnation. You know what we're believing for? We believe and pray that none of our people will catch it. But I want to tell you, if you do, there's no condemnation. Hey, it's like falling into a ditch. Our part's to help you out. And our part then is that, you know what, we're going to pray that you don't have any symptoms. Because a lot of people that have it don't have any symptoms. One guy told me, he said, well, it's like me having days off and I'm miserable. I'm ready to get back out there. I haven't felt bad at all. Well, I want to tell you, you know, we're going to pray for you. And if you did catch it, we're going to pray for you to be healed quickly and recover quickly. And you know what? Because that's what we're a team, and we got room for each other, don't we? And so that's very, very important. But I'm not saying you won't ever be sick, but it'd be exciting to be sick less often and then recover faster when you do. I remember a day of sweet, immediate touch from the Lord when I was practicing communion at home. And it was my shoulder. The beautiful blind will remember. I had hurt my shoulder. And I played enough ball and had surgery on both shoulders. I know what an injury is compared to a hurt. You know, that's a very big thing in athletics. You know, are you just hurt? Well, so what? Little tape, little hot tub, little ice, let's go. But if it's an injury, it's something different. This was an injured shoulder. I'm not a rookie at this. But I want to tell you, it had been about 48 hours. I was on the couch. I can show you exactly where I was sitting on our couch and received communion. And I know, experienced the Lord's touch immediately on my shoulder. And I was able to do this for the first time in 48 hours. Woohoo! It didn't bite. It didn't make me want to holler. I'm telling you, the Lord touched me. Now, that doesn't happen every time immediately. You know, part of my testimony is this. A lot of times when something comes, when something hits, it's 24 or 48 hours later and I'm released. I don't know why it takes me that long. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I want to tell you, it's Jesus that does the touching. We're to keep seeking. All right? And so a number of things. You know what that uh-oh feeling is? when you know something just hit you and you don't know what it is. Well, I'm telling you what, you know, I can't tell you how many times beautiful blonde two within 24, 48 hours, that's gone. All right, well, it's better to believe than not believe. I had a pastor tell me, well, I just don't believe that. Well, you're not going to receive it. It's not going to work for you. But I'll tell you, something happens when you, like a child, simply believe. The last couple of things that have hit me that have been pretty tough with a lot of pain, it took 7 days for both of them. It was on the eighth day. That's interesting, isn't it? Because the eight means new beginning. Seven means completion. Eight, new beginning. But I want to tell you, it was on the eighth day for both of those things. And I'm not going to tell you what they were. It was the eighth day of taking communion that they were gone. Now, I tell you, it was really exciting. And you know what? It wasn't the type of thing like with the shoulder where I felt an immediate touch. It was the type of thing that on the eighth day I'd received communion and I was out doing what I needed to do in life. And as I'm doing what I needed to do, it just kind of dawned on me. Kind of sneaked up on me and dawned on me, you know, I don't have pain today. I can do this. I can do that. I don't have pain today for the first time in 7 days. Okay, it kind of dawned on me. You know, that's Jesus too. All right, I'll never forget, and this is part of what shook me about this whole series. Years ago, a little single mom and her daughter, a little teenage daughter, about 12 years old, came to the church on Sunday morning, and they insisted on seeing me before church. Now, the pastoral team knows that, you know, I'll meet with them in the huddle, but I pretty well hide out with the Lord. I'm available afterwards, but I pretty well hide out before the service. But she insisted on seeing me, and so they brought her in, into my office, and she said, Pastor, I need you to pray this morning over my daughter. She's got this skin thing that's broke out, and we went to the doctor. They don't know what it is, and it's growing. It's like it's eating her flesh, and they took a piece of it, and they sent it off to the lab, but they don't know what it is, and it ain't nothing they're doing going to help it. And I said, well, no problem. We'll pray for it. I said, show it to me. They showed it to me, and I went, ooh, because it was pretty bad. And I said, you know what? We'll pray for that at the end of service. I'll just be honest, I wasn't ready. I said, we'll pray for that at the end of the service. She said, okay, Pastor. So they go into service, we had communion. And right after communion, this woman's out there in the auditorium there, her and her daughter, and that right after communion, she's... And I kind of waved, you know, tried to get her to behave. And she's waving like this right here. I'm thinking, okay, you know, God bless you. And she began to holler at me, Pastor! Pastor! And it just irritated the far out of me. You know, I had a sermon to preach, brother. She waving and hollering at me, and I finally said, what do you want? Real spiritual on my part. What do you want? Jesus touched my daughter in communion. She's healed. I said, what? Real man of faith. What? And so the real man of faith walked down there to have a peek at it. I want to tell you, her skin was perfectly clear. I mean, it was so beautiful. It was so clear. And I said, we need to take time to rejoice over this. And so, Mama, help yourself. And she did. And I want to tell you, you say, well, ain't that sweet? What if your daughter? What if it's your daughter? And the doctor said, we don't know what to do. We don't know what this is. And it's getting worse every day. And Jesus touched her during communion. You see, I want to tell you something about the Lord. That's just like Him. That's what He loves to do. He wants us to believe and receive. And so you may have our parts to do the receiving. He does the healing. You may have a serious diagnosis. And I'm finished with this. You may have a serious diagnosis or prognosis with your doctor. Doc's word's not the final word. Let's embrace faith. Not fear, faith. We may not understand it all, but our part's to trust and lean on Him. Let's practice His presence and stand and proclaim His word. Let's seek the Lord in communion and expect His presence. And love on Him and let Him love on us. Let's have faith in His finished works. Don't forget the benefits. Practice receiving by simple faith the communion of His presence. And let me rush to say this. Don't be in a hurry. Take your time in His presence. He's got more for us than we can even dream. Take time in His presence. Be still and recognize that He is the great I Am. Let's be, and this is humility, let's be Jesus dependent and Jesus focused, and let Jesus be Jesus, because He's more than enough. You hear me? I love you. Thank you for listening this morning. Boy, I bless you in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for these simple principles that we can say yes to you about. And Lord, we want to approach you by faith. We want to approach you in humility. And we want to say to you that you're our Lord, that you're the great I Am, that you're more than enough, that this covenant that you've made is more than enough for whatever we need. And so, Lord, as we seek you, you promised we would find you. As we knock, the door will be opened. As we ask, we'll receive. We bless your holy name. Great is our God in the midst of us. And all the saints said, amen. We bless you in the name of Jesus. We're going to catch you right here.